You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to embark on a journey, and the title of this message is The Mystery of the Serpent. I was going to call this The Enemy Defined. I know you all know who our main enemy is, but ladies and gentlemen, they're not the only enemies. We do know about the Shabez Goy element. Those are our enemies as well. But we forget sometimes that even beyond the Shabez Goy, we find that we have enemies. People, it's come to the point where our own people are reporting us. As I embark and those and my colleagues and truth lovers around the world, and as we forge forward in the march of proclaiming the truth, we see that we are on the same march, many of us, not all of us, that Yeshua was on. After all, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, Yeshua was killed for telling the truth. As I tell the truth, I've had many attacks, like many of you. And many of these attacks are coming from my own people. Many of these attacks are coming from people that, it's, you know, there's nothing that warranted the attack. And then there's a certain person out there that's trying to attack me that says they're a Christian. But I'm not saying they're a Judeo-Christian. They're supposedly in our camp. So what I proclaim is this to you. I want you to realize what kind of an age we're living in. If you're wondering why the women are the way they are, or if you're wondering why the men are the way they are, it's very simple to explain to you. Maybe you've never realized this. These are not the women and men that Yahweh created in the sense of they are corrupted versions of women. These aren't our women that Yahweh created. Women that turn us in, women that hate us, women that try to help the enemy come in and rape the rest of the women, women that, and the men the same thing. The devil and his offspring have polluted our men and women. They no longer look like our men and women, practically. Do the men look like warriors to you? Do the women look frail and beautiful and feminine and submissive to you? Or when you see American women, are they brash like hookers? Like Jewish females? They've been perverted. In the same way as males talk with like their girls with the little serpent S, you know? Sissy. These are not Yahweh's creations. Oh, yes, they're people. And yes, Yahweh created us, but something polluted it. You see, if you drop one drop of poison into a glass of water, it's poisoned. And we, as the children of water, have been poisoned, corrupted. This has everything to do with the mystery of the serpent. You shall understand this. My very first teaching for the Saxon's Creed show was called, Are You Blessing Vampires? And it's from the very book I'm going to be reading from this very day. It's that important that I never finished the book. I went through what I thought was the most interesting about that, but I think it needs to be heard again. And now that I understand much more than I used to, because as I say, today we see, tomorrow we see clearer. We shall understand things to a higher degree as time goes on. And I believe I have an understanding of this book like never before. Isn't in the same way as the word of Yahweh. It's amazing that you can read these same passages and years later they mean something new to you. So the enemy are definitely the Jews, we know that. And we definitely know about the Shabbos Goy. But then we have the enemy of our own people. These aren't necessarily Shabbos Goy. They're just moved about by the devil, by their feelings. And not picking on you, and I know how upset you'll be, but I find it to be women. Women are the easiest to maneuver. And that's why they're trying to feminize the men, because they're trying to make them as easily maneuverable as the women are. Oh, this isn't just happening by chance, ladies and gentlemen. This is happening because that's what happens when you are corrupted, when you are no longer the creation that Yahweh. You see, if you fed yourself the word would cleanse that out of your system. But these people are not hearing the truth. They are not feeding on the truth. They are not in love with the truth. And therefore, they are in stagnant waters. They are corrupted. They are no longer the people of Yahweh in the sense where they're not moving. They're zombies. They'll report you in a heartbeat without conscience. They'll try to destroy your life while they'll tell you they're a Christian and they have joy in Christ. Now, one important enemy that we must not neglect and must not forget is ourselves. You see, I have some knowledge and I have some wisdom, but there are times when I have been caught off guard and not used the wisdom that has been given to me. This is something to be very careful of. I'm not somebody who's going to ascribe to the politically correct nonsense in this world. But it is a world that you must tiptoe through on the eggshells if you're going to have to survive in it from time to time. I am vehemently against that. And We need to stop this as soon as possible. You see, this is why it's very easy for me to explain this to you. This is why you were taken off the farms. This is why you've gone to college and you've been indoctrinated. Because you're going to, and this is why the Jews have all the companies and all the jobs practically. Of course, you realize that we do have the opportunity to have small business, but they're in the process of getting us out of our small businesses and regulating us with communism to push us out until there'll be a time where we will have no place to lay our head, just like Yeshua. You see, as I tell the truth, and my own people attack me and help my enemy, and my own people become my enemy, those are the ones I'm to forgive, by the way. And I have forgiven them. And I've prayed for them. Nevertheless, they don't care. I'm talking about people you didn't even do anything to. I am walking in the same walk, and no, I'm not even close to Yeshua, okay? But you, my dear friend, that tell the truth, are walking in the same walk. It's a walk towards your death. Because people hate the truth. They abhor it. The Jew can't stand it. And when you tell the truth to the other races, they'll attack you. And when you tell the truth to the Jew, they'll attack you. And when you tell the truth to many of our women, they'll attack you. There's no room for the truth in this fantasy world we live in this Babylonian hellhole. Nevertheless, we forge on, and we shall make room for the truth. Don't get me wrong, we're not turning back, death or no death. We're going all the way, and I encourage you to go along with me. We may never be killed, but then again, we may be killed. We saw that Yeshua told the truth, and he certainly got killed, and the disciples told the truth, and they certainly got killed. I shall not turn back, not for political correctness, not for any reason whatsoever. We shall push the truth forward, and we shall destroy the enemy with the truth. You know, you just have to look and see what the enemy doesn't like. And that I push the most. They don't like the truth, I push the truth. They don't like hearing certain radio shows or certain people, I push that. If they're trying to get that off the air, then I push that doubly. So, maybe you'll understand now that we have many enemies, whether the Jew, whether the Shabbos Goy, whether the other races have now become our enemies, most of them, not Japan. Then we have our own people on top of all of that. And then ourselves. Let me just read you a little something, as you all know about this. But why not just put a reminder to you? Yeshua, in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, suppose ye that I have come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided. Oh, this goes for our people very easily. Should we eat duck? Oh, let's get in a big argument over that. I mean, we'll just have to, maybe I should kill you if you decide that the duck is to be eaten or not to be eaten. We definitely must divide over that for sure. But don't divide the duck if you don't eat it, of course. You know, from henceforth there should be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three, he says. Verse 53. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, and pay very close attention to this, if you might. When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, and thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell ye, thou shalt not depart thence, till thou hast paid the very last mite. I found a very interesting scripture that I've never seen before, and it comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. And this is Yeshua speaking. Then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. I took that about myself, though I didn't think I was a scribe. I have been given treasures from Yahweh, nuggets of gold that I have shared with you, new and old. So I decided, well, because of, we're going to use this same definition for the book we're going to read, I found out something while looking in it. Definition of scribe. A member of a learned class in ancient Israel through New Testament times, studying the scriptures and serving as copyists, editors, teachers, and jurists. Yes, they were not just writers. They were teachers. That's what I call myself, the teacher. So I am in the definition of a scribe, and so are you, teachers. Let me read it again. A member of a learned class in ancient Israel, through New Testament times, studying the scriptures and serving as copyists, editors, teachers, and jurists. Let's go back and read that again now. Matthew 13:52. Then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Just thought you might like to hear that. Now I want to go and I want to say my piece, since I was involved in that series in the first three parts, about this law, this question of the law. I have a nugget of gold I wish to share with you that Yahweh revealed to me. Whether or not you agree with it, I can't say, but I shall cast my pearls before thee. And I consider none of you swine, so there is no fear of the trampling. Maybe I should need to be corrected, or maybe this will be a revelation and a trinket of gold for you, dear listener. You teacher of the law, teacher of the kingdom. Now, they were talking about how the law is and how Yeshua came and he fulfilled the law, meaning that he fulfilled a certain part of the law, which was the Old Testament sacrifice. And how we are to still obey Yahweh and the law has not been put away. Well, I think the very evidence is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. And I'll explain it to you the best I can. And I think it's something you've heard many, many, many times, and you probably just didn't realize something about this. I'll read it, you know, maybe twice or something, so we really get it through here now. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. This is Yeshua speaking. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Here's the key. Till all be fulfilled. The law is still being fulfilled. See, maybe you missed that. Do you understand what I mean by that? See, if he had fulfilled the complete law, then it would have passed. But only the part that he fulfilled has passed, and we are to obey his commandments and still fulfill the law, but not the sacrificial law. That part of the law has passed, but the remaining part is still being fulfilled. How do I know that? Because he said himself in verse 18, till all be fulfilled, which is telling me that it's not fulfilled yet. Anyone like to say anything? Eli? Steve? Any comment? I don't know if you're listening anyway, but however, I feel that that's very important, and that is witness in itself telling you and letting you know that the law is still being fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that the sacrifice still needs to be fulfilled. I'm saying Yahweh came and took care of that. Yeshua came and took care of that. So there you have it. So let me read it again. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot. See, he didn't say, till I die and am resurrected, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law. He said, till heaven and earth pass, which is after him and still has not happened yet. Understood? So, for truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So something is still being fulfilled. And that's my piece on that. I hope that if you need to correct me, correct me. Otherwise, I think that about straightens it right out, right there. That's all we really needed to know. Okay. So, I'd say it's time to move on to the mystery of the serpent. Ladies and gentlemen, this is extremely important as far as I'm concerned, because this not only talks about the fact that we are the true Israel, but this tells you why the Jews must race mix. It also tells you who the Kehillah is. Now, it's funny that in this book, the Kehillah, I want to show you a technique of the Jews, so you'll know that when you research, you'll understand why these things are the way they are. And I taught this about the book that Albert Pike wrote. See, they used to call it the Sohar, this Jewish Kabbalah nonsense or whatever, and now they call it the Zohar. And I tell you what the reason for that is they like to hide things. So if you went out and you're looking for the Sohar you're looking for the Zohar and you're looking for knowledge on the Zohar, you will never come across what's said about the Sohar necessarily, you see? It's a way of hiding things. You'll notice that the Kabbalah could be spelled with a Q, it could be spelled with a C, or it could be spelled with a K. Did you notice that? That's how you hide things. So, it's important to realize. So, the Kehillah. Now, in this book, it's spelled C-A-H-A-L-L-A, Kehillah. But the way I've seen it spelled, even just last night, was K-E-H-I-L-L-A. Understood? Is that enough said on that? That's how you hide things from people. Because while you're out searching for the Kehillah with a K, you probably aren't going to find out about the Kehillah with a C. This man and his family were killed for writing these books. B.F. Jackson, this is called The Mystery of the Serpent. Supposedly, he wrote 5 books. And there are people that have these 5 books and are hoarding them to themselves instead of making sure they get scanned in and get shown around the world. That's not a very nice thing to do. Because if you die, that information could die with you. It is your responsibility to make sure that information gets out to all the rest of us. If this book is as important as it is and this man was killed, believe me, the rest of the books are important. So if you have B.F. Jackson's books, please, by all means, disperse the information. There's a little saying in the book right from Isaiah right here, and it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people." Isaiah 28, get this, 9 through 11. 9-11. Yes. Okay, the prologue of the book. I think it's important that we read each and every page of this book. This is my way of getting this book onto another media or medium. This book is that important as far as I'm concerned. The disposition of being improperly curious caused me to enlist in the United States Navy in 1919. The second ship which I served was the battleship USS Wyoming, in which the chaplain was Father Brady. After getting accustomed to the ship's routine, I began plying him with questions. First, I wanted to know about the Catholic Church, because I had been brought up as a Baptist and did not understand his Sunday services. The first portion of which was exclusively Catholic. He gave me an old dog-eared Catholic history book and turned me loose on my own. Next, I wanted to know about the biblical history, because I could not understand it. I also wanted to know what became of the 10 tribal house of Israel, the 10 lost tribes. Well, the Jews say they're gone. They just disappeared. As a matter of fact, 11 tribes have disappeared. There's only one left. How convenient. Those are my words, ladies and gentlemen. Father Brady admitted he did not know what became of Israel, although he believed the people still existed amidst the Gentiles, in similar manner as the Jews, their brethren. That's a lie, but of course that's not him speaking. I argued, however, that the Jew is readily recognized by his peculiar mental and physical characteristics, and if he is a brother of lost Israel, then it is not logical to believe the house of Israel would have the same characteristics. He's asking that as a question. Then is it not logical to believe that the house of Israel would have the same characteristics? If so, were they? Where were they? You cannot conceal a people who Yahweh, I'm going to change that. He's using the word Jehovah, which a Catholic monk came up with and is an improper term, and that is not Yahweh's name. So I will change, anytime I see that, changes to Yahweh. If so, where were they? You cannot conceal a people who Yahweh declared to Abraham would be ultimately as numerous as the stars above and the sand of the seashore. Father Brady could not answer. Of course he couldn't. On one occasion when I inquired of him the reason for wars between Christian nations of white men, he said, "Sparks in the first place. It is impossible to understand current events unless one inquires into turmoil of yesteryear, which still had its roots in the remote past. Wars do not happen of their own accord or by accident. They are man-made. One must understand the cause of things which seem of no importance or are incomprehensible. One must discover whether or not there are secret strings moving men to action or binding them to inaction during religious, political, financial, and economical crises which burst forth without warning and without any logical reason. Does it sound like we're talking about today to you? It sure does to me. One must know whether or not the rulers of nations are real rulers or merely puppets. Above all, take the attitude of Sir Patrick Manson, 1844 to 1922, who once said, "Never refuse to see what you do not want to see, or what might go against your own cherished hypothesis, or against the views of authorities. These are just the clues to follow up, as is also, and empathetically so, the thing that you have never seen or heard before, the thing you cannot get a pigeonhole for, is the finger point showing the way to discovery." Very important, wouldn't you say? Let me read it again. Never refuse to see. I have people all the time that you'd tell them something and they put their head right down into the sand. They turn on the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil button. So here he says, never refuse to see what you do not want to see, or what might go against your own cherished hypothesis, or against the views of authorities. These are just the clues to follow up, as is also, and emphatically so, the thing that you have never seen or heard before. The thing you cannot get a pigeonhole for is the finger point showing the way to discovery. Okay, he goes on and he says, apparently that was meant for a challenge. I accepted it as such. And in 1931, after being transferred to the U.S. Asiatic Fleet, I joined the Masonic fraternity. Here's where we go a little array here. However, Yahweh brought him through this horrible Masonic fraternity somewhat untouched, only to be killed later for writing these very books. So he was in quest of more light and soon advanced to the 32nd degree in the Scottish Rite, in which I began studying the Hindu scriptures and comparing them with our Bible. That study was supplemented with the divine revelation in the Great Pyramid of Giza at Cairo, Egypt, Oriental and Occidental History, in out-of-the-way books, papers, pamphlets, and manuscripts which had escaped the censors. Masonically speaking, while traveling east, I met many Scottish and York Rite Masons and the light bearers for Christ. Oh my goodness. Stationed along the Eastern Highway. One traveler was an Indian Sikh of the Scottish Rite Bodies and High of the Sikh Mysteries. With his assistance, the gods, devils, and fantasia of the Hindu scriptures were swept aside to reveal, in the language of symbolism, the entire ancient Adamic messianic prophecy foretold by our Enoch of the Adamites line of Seth. Subsequently, I began working with Naval Intelligence of the U.S. Asiatic Fleet and the 4th Regiment of U.S. Marines. In that work and my journeys with the Lightbearers of Christ, high degree Scottish and York Rite Masons, I discovered the answer to the major question which I had been seeking. Why did Yahweh, I changed Jehovah again, form the children of Israel for his kingdom on earth? Why did he need a kingdom in the material plane? Why did he send his Christ son of righteousness, the man, see, Jesus Christ, hello. Just be a little careful here. To that people to draw up a new covenant after they broke the first. If it was essential to do all of that, then it is not logical to believe the devil has always been tangible and he has a race of tangible people to sabotage and destroy God's kingdom and its work amidst man. That's a question. Let me read it again. If it was essential to do all of that, then is it not logical to believe the devil has always been tangible and he has a race of tangible people to sabotage and destroy God's kingdom and its work amidst man? If so, then who is the devil and who are his people? I found the answer. Christ came into the material plane to renew the covenant with the children of Israel to destroy the devil and his race. The Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic people are the house of Israel as God's kingdom. The people we know as Jews are the kingdom of the devil, and he has always been their king. Since time immemorial, they have been known in Asia as the serpent race. There are three branches of this race. This is it. This is the key right here. I want you to realize something. Let's see. Somebody sent me a message. Who could it be, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, please. Please, Eli. I'm sorry. I can't agree with that. Okay. Pay attention to what I'm telling you right here. Now, you have a guy out here, he's a Jew, his name is Benjamin Friedman. I mean, not Benjamin Friedman. I can't think of his name. He keeps talking about the Khazarian Mafia. He never mentions the word Jew. Benjamin Fulford. He's a pretend truth teller. He's one of these Jews who never admits he's a Jew, and he's always talking about how the Khazarian Mafia is being taken down, that they are the ones that are doing all this evil and have been doing this evil. They are the New World Order. They are the Illuminati. They are the evil people doing these things. Okay? Now, listen to what this man says here. Now, I told you about Benjamin Friedman, and one of the ploy and tactics of the Jews today is to claim that the Khazarian Jews are the evil Jews that are doing all the evil, and they're 95% of Jewry today. But, now pay attention, I'm not saying this. This is what the Jews are trying to put across to you. That the Khazarians are the evil Jews. They're the bankers, the merchants. They're the ones that are doing all the evil things. But the 5% of Jews left over are the good Jews who are of the tribe of Israel. That's a lie. And that is, you must realize when you see the Jews telling the truth, you must realize why that's happening. Jews don't tell the truth. Jews and truth are like water and oil. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. You see, what they're doing, why you have a brother, Nathanael, he's no brother of mine or yours. If you're an Adamite, he's no brother in the truth. He's trying to present Jews as redeemable. You see, if they all acted evil, we'd all know how evil they are. But the ploy of the Jew, they're not stupid when it comes to this kind of a game, playing both sides. They must have some Jew truth tellers. They must have some Jews who expose things. Because then you'll say, well, I know not all Jews are bad because look at this guy. Look at this guy. He told the truth. So not all Jews are bad. Sorry, Charlie. That leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And Starkist knows that that a Jew is a Jew is a Jew is a Jew in the same way as a serpent is a serpent is a serpent is a serpent. I don't care if the serpent comes out and pretends to tell the truth for a little while. It'll still bite you and kill you. So, pay attention to what he's saying here. You know, I'll mention what Eli kind of said. He said that Freemasonry is Christian, which it is not in any form or fashion. They are not allowed to say the name of Jesus Christ in the lodge. And number two, he told me that the reason why I know this is not true, I'm not trying to contradict my brother, but you see, as I studied Freemasonry and I listened to these people try to tell you the truth about the Illuminati and everything, they wanted to make sure I knew one thing that was important for me to know about Freemasonry and other organizations, and that is that only the members at the top are the ones that are evil. That the people down the bottom are innocent, innocent lambs that don't even know what's going on at all. Well, that could be true for a few people, but let's look at the organization of the mafia, which has come out of the P2 Lodge. You've got the Jews at the top of the mafia, and you've got the mafia people at the bottom, the very bottom, who are the innocent lambs that do all the killings and hits. Let's use common sense, ladies and gentlemen. Freemasonry is evil. Plain and simple. It is the pseudo church. It is another of the devil's churches. It may have not been this way many, many, many moons ago, but it is this way. It is literally, you go to the temple and they keep the north side of the lodge dark, because Yahweh resides in the north. These people all ascribe to homosexuality. They still ascribe to equality, fraternity, and the other one. Okay? So let's go right here. The people we know as Jews are the kingdom of the devil, and he has always been their king. Since the immemorial, they have been known in Asia as the serpent race. Now pay attention right now. Remember what I said about Ashkenazis? There are three branches of this race. The Ashkenazim Khazars. See, Nazi is right in there. The Ashkenazim, Nazim, Nazi, Nazi is right there. The Germans did not call themselves Nazis. Ashkenazim, and they're also known as Ashkenazi. And then he put / Khazar. And Sephardic Jews in Christendom. And the Black Zuhus in Asia. They are proud of being satanic because they say it makes them a race of God men. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that? They hate God and man, yet for expediency, Jews in Christendom pretend to worship Yahweh and love man. In all ages, they have been the sponsors and financiers of all wars. They promote Republican principles, yet they themselves have no use for them because communism is their religion. However, they make use of their of our freedom. Liberty was the other one, see? And when you talk about, this came from the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, where they began to preach liberty, equality, and fraternity. And this is what I have already explained to you on my show. The liberty they're talking about is not your liberty, but it's the liberty of all those, like the homosexual, like the transgender, like the Satanist. Liberty of the Jew superseding the liberty of the people of the indigenous nation. Notice how their liberties supersede our liberties in America. Now, we have the liberty, we have the right not to have homosexuals in our country because Yahweh says not to do it. Yet they've made laws superseding our liberty. You understand what liberty means to them? This is exactly, comes right out of the protocols, and they put this into Freemasonry. And if you read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, you will find out that they know that this is, they've got the fools to repeat this over and over. Liberty, equality. The equality we're talking about, you see, is, I have explained to you already that all other races were sub-races. The Jews got out of the ghettos in with Napoleon and were allowed to be equal citizens with the French people. Then they did that in all nations. And through Freemasonry, all that time, they now have got the other races. That's the equality they're talking about. That's the equality. And the fraternity was brotherhood, that all races bleed red. All races are just the same. There's no difference between anybody. This was done by the Jews. This is a devil organization. I don't care what anybody tells you. This is a pseudo-Christian church in the same way as Judeo-Christianity or Catholicism. They're perversions. They are the devil's churches. Masonry, I've already explained to you, is a trap for our people. It's a trap to trap them in. They go after, one of the things that the fraternities go after are children that are have no dad and mom. You understand? Because then they can shape them and use them in their organizations and in governmental organizations. That's what the Skull and Bones is. Okay, so I told you about the three here, right? So they are proud being satanic because they say it makes them a race of God men. They hate God and man, yet for expediency, Jews in Christendom pretend to worship Yahweh and love man. In all ages, they have been sponsors and financiers of wars. They promote Republican principles, yet they themselves have no use for them because communism is their religion. Okay, so on from there. However, they make use of our freedom, liberty, and constitution for a screen behind which to hide, undermining our church and state and all law in order in Asia and Africa. And that's in all of our countries. Their system of boycotting, sabotaging, ransacking, and destruction is known as the serpent system, which is so enormous, silent, and sinister, the average person in Anglo-Saxondom does not know it exists. The serpent system is the practical application of the Luciferian doctrine. This is the one that Albert Pike, the Mason, the one who wrote the 32 degrees Mason, the Scottish Rite, The serpent system is the practical application of the Luciferian doctrine. It is entirely oriental and occult. It is sponsored and directed by Satan as the uncovered senior king of the Jews and his 12-membered cabinet, whose capital for centuries was the forbidden city of Lhasa, Tibet. Yet, since 1950, Tel Aviv, Palestine, has been the capital. And Moscow, London, and New York City are the lesser capitals, screening Tel Aviv from the public view. Under the King of the Jews is one roving ambassador and two princes who direct the international government of the devil, consisting of 1,922,627 Jews, equally divided between the Eastern and Western hemisphere. Now this is, he's going to explain to you these things, and this is going to show you how they get things done. See, Masonry is just one of the avenues they use. The church is another avenue they use. The media is another. You know these things, and you'll find out that the Kahila is involved in all of these. So he continues. The religion of the serpent race is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-man, communistic Satanism. The movement is spiritual and material. The former sponsors and partially finances all Oriental occultism in Christendom and the thing going under the name of scientific Christianity in order to deliberately break down and destroy all faith in the worship of God. So they are here. That's what the ADL was put in 1913, was definitely to destroy our culture, which is Christianity, and to destroy our faith in Yahweh. To destroy Christianity, to destroy our culture, and ultimately to destroy us as a people and a nation. The material portion of the system sponsors all un-American activities. Anarchistic Bolshevism, Fabianism, and socialistic communism. Behind the two branches stands Satan, who today, now this is back then, we don't know who it is today. Satan, who today is the Turco-Mongol Jew, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha. You've heard of the Baha'i faith, right? That's supposed to be the one world faith. Whose temporary residence is Johns Hopkins University, Baltimore, Maryland, United States of America. He was brought here from Moscow, Russia, by the Jew Owen Lattimore. You've heard these names. I want you to pay attention that this man is naming names you've heard that are involved in America and in the conspiracies of America. Some of these same names, of course, were named by McCarthy. So, he was brought here from Moscow, Russia, by the Jew Owen Lattimore and Jewry's Supreme Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of B'nai B'rith in New York City, proclaimed him as Jewry's God in 1950. That devil's power reaches out through the B'nai B'rith to clutch the throat of every government in the world. He is the current unseen, now not right this moment now, but at this time. He was the current unseen hand. And Jews Bernard Manus Baruch, you've heard of him, right? Bernard Baruch, can you say Federal Reserve? Jews Bernard Manus Baruch, Felix Frankfurter, you've heard of him. Henry Morgenthau Jr., have you heard of the Morgenthau Plan? And U.S. Senator Herbert H. Lehman, you've heard all these names, are the power in that satanic hand in America. So they're part of the B'nai B'rith. You wonder why this man was killed? and his family? Prior to being transferred to the U.S. Asiatic Fleet, I did not pay much attention to civilian thought. Returning home, however, I want you to pay attention to this now, because this is something that if you went away for a while and returned to America, you would find out you are in a strange land, because America has been changing gradually. This is how the devil and his offspring work. They don't change things very quickly, except they're being rushed right now. They've never changed things as quickly as they have this time, now, at the time we're in, because they know that their time is running out, and they're making a lot of mistakes by being forced to rush into things. They've been very slow and methodical to make these changes in our society. Pay attention to what he says here. Prior to being transferred to the U.S. Asiatic Fleet, I did not pay attention much to civilian thought. Returning home, however, I saw a people, totally strangers, even though they were my kindred and countrymen. The change was as drastic as though one were to walk out into a bright sunlight from a dark room. Yet the average person did not, or does he today, seem to notice any change. While reflecting on the condition, I observed the change that was taking place prior to 1931. Yet I had been closer to civilian thought than I realized. Remember what I told you about the cat hunting the birds? That the cat will get down on all four and it will crouch down. And the birds would be up there feeding. And the cat would go inch by inch. He would be up, his hind paws would be right up on edge, and he would move himself about a half inch at a time, so that the birds never noticed any change. You know, if there was a sudden run for the birds, they'd notice it immediately. But the birds didn't notice it, the atmosphere changing around them. And as the cat inched forth, inch by inch and step by step, if you remember that from the Three Stooges, that's exactly how the Jews operate. Slowly I turned, inch by inch, step by step, and then he attacked. Well, that's how the cat works, and that's how the Jews work. In that little joke, we see a truth in the operation of our enemies. So he goes on, I was part of our national mind and I did not observe the gradual transformation. Home again, however, I knew the change was produced and is perpetuated by the insidious pressure of the serpent system in complete control of the very heartbeat of America through our press, radio, recorded music, television, and motion pictures, which move our people. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention. Now, you know, I've read this before, but this, you know, I can't say enough about this. Pay attention very, very closely, if you would be so kind to give me your attention here. Listen to this. Home again, however, I knew the change was produced and is perpetuated by the insidious pressure of the serpent system in complete control of the very heartbeat of America through, how is it controlled? Through our press, radio, recorded music, television, and motion pictures. Now listen, which move our people in one direction, then another, in vast surging tidal waves of emotion, in the deliberate plot to ruthlessly debilitate our national mind, so we will not contemplate the gradual undermining of church and state and even our personal lives. It is war to destroy the white race, a war waged by the serpent race for the pure love of evilness. I hope you caught what I just said right there. How are they doing this? How are they moving us to and fro? How are they using our emotions? I've told you this. Now, remember, I've told you that they use our emotions. I've told you they use media stories. And now the proof of the pudding is in the tasting or the eating. Let's see it once again. How are they controlling the very heartbeat of America? Through our press, radio, recorded music, television, and motion pictures, which move our people in one direction, then another, in vast, surging tidal waves of emotion. In a deliberate plot to ruthlessly debilitate our national mind so we will not contemplate the gradual undermining of church and state and even our personal lives. And if you had a question of, is white genocide true or not? What is this man saying? This is a long time ago, folks. In this sentence that after this, it is war to destroy the white race, a war raged by the serpent race for the pure love of evilness. Now, here we are seeing the evidence that there is a serpent race and there is an Adamic race. We see the two seed line right here in this instance. We now know again that this is another confirmation that is outside of the Bible, proving the fact that we have two seed lines fighting against one another. One doesn't know that it's being fought against and is being destroyed, and the other does. So, he continues, I made an investigation and discovered the serpent race was dominating the field of religion. Listen to this now. This is a long time ago. I made an investigation and discovered the serpent race was dominating the field of religion through the Federal Council of Churches of Christ and the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Clergymen by the thousands were spewing forth modernism, tolerance for anti-Christian methods, mongrelization, and internationalism instead of Christ, the scriptures, the glorious plan of spiritual salvation, the preservation of our rugged white mental and spiritual superiority and initiative, and the love of our nation. To my dismay, I discovered new fair dealism had undermined the very foundation of our great republic, the Constitution of the United States of America. I found political corruption had extended its slimy tentacles from the White House to the small villages and farms so as to deliberately destroy all moral and spiritual values. I was appalled at the discovery of sex degenerates employed in our national capital. Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, this could have been written today. I found treason excused. Hello! Betrayal of our nation condoned by the president and his administration. The armed forces sabotage. Hello! Our national resources deliberately wasted. Hello! On other races. Is this written today? No. The onerous unconstitutional taxes consuming the fruit of all endeavor and labor. I found the colored minorities sullen, rebellious, and in a state of turmoil. Hello again. The great white majority perplexed and confused, neither one proud of its race and heritage, and barriers let down for the destruction of all. Everywhere I turned, I met defeat. My own kin laughed at me to scorn. Do not be carried away with your enthusiasm, they say. Cultivate the team spirit. Forget politics. It's only a game of crooks. To hell with Christianity. It's only for feeble-minded people. Relax. Enjoy yourself. Has not the world turmoil come out all right in the past? A serpent race? Are you crazy? These are all the things his family and his kin would say to him. My whole being revolted against such a satanic system in which church dogma and doctrine, national and state legislation, encourages Christian apostasy. Indifference to un-American and unconstitutional activities to such an extent that the basic and fundamental structure of our personal and national life is in jeopardy. If the elected guardians of this nation can do or will do nothing about the situation, then it is up to individuals who call themselves men to try. The plot and the nature of the conspirators must be exposed. Well, we're told that nobody has ever conspired in the history of man. Never conspired against man or God. There's only one organization that has ever conspired, and that's Al-Qaeda. And if you believe that, I've got an ocean to sell you. With the thoughts in mind, I've got in communication with my former shipmates in the Naval Intelligence and laid my plan before them and requested their assistance. It is not the business of those people to inquire into motives and cause of effect of world events. Their job is to obtain intelligence about the sponsors of conspiracy, not to seek the long-term motive behind it. And if they could give me the names of the key traitors in this nation, I would have invaluable data with which to work. Well, we already know who these people are. With their assistance, I began to work to build a tower of truth. Soon, however, I discovered there were still more American nationalists worthy of being called men. Men with dignity and proud of their white race. Men still capable of loving God and country. Men still capable of comprehending constitutional government. Men backed up by their women as loyal and courageous as themselves. For our mutual work, we have constructed an instrument to fight the powers of satanic darkness with the power of light for Christ, for country, for our race, and for the ultimate destiny of man. It is this study which, because of necessity, we compose in a series of pamphlets. You see, there were more than one pamphlet. There were more than one pamphlet. Pamphlets written here. And somebody has all the rest of these pamphlets. It is with this study which, because of necessity, we compose in the series of pamphlets which we dedicate to America's survival in the final struggle of World War III as Armageddon, into which Jewry in America, working as one with the Jews in the Kremlin in Moscow, Russia, have plunged us into the order to annihilate Christianity and the white race or perish in the attempt. Okay, that was the prologue. Imagine that. That's just the prologue to the book, to the pamphlet. The mystery of the serpent. In biblical prophecy, the number 44 signifies the beast of lies. He is Satan. Accordingly, after 44 years of lying about the book, the plot of the Jews, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, being a non-Jew forgery, the leaders of Jewry in America on the night of 5th February 1949 bragged to what they supposed to have been an... Pay attention to this now. Don't fall asleep on me, because, you see, there were people in the audience, and when they're telling you, they're trying to tell you again today now, there's new articles coming out saying that the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion is a forgery. So let's see why this man died, and you'll figure this out real quick. In biblical prophecy, okay, I'm just going to go forth. The plot of the Jews, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, being a non-Jew forgery, this is what the Jews have said, the leaders of Jewry in America on the fifth night of February 1949 bragged to what they supposed to have been an all-Jewish audience in the Shriners. See, this is, the Shriners are the organization that's over Freemasonry. Okay? So they, on 5th February 1949, the Jews bragged to what they supposed to have been an all-Jewish audience in the Shriners Auditorium, Los Angeles, California, that the protocols are authentically the blueprint of the world conquest by the serpent race of the Jews. The protocols are Jewry's own property, and the conspiracy against God and man in them is an accomplished fact. Except to collapse America's economy and finances, then seize the government and destroy the independence of this nation. Yet they declared that would be accomplished before the end of 1953. You see why that is because in 1913 they put in the three destructors, right? They put in the ADL, they put in the taxes, and they put in the Federal Reserve. And they believe that within 40 years, see, they don't realize that Yahweh has a say in all these things. They think that they can just make plans and that Yahweh doesn't have plans. But the fact is that Yahweh is in control. Just like they don't have that little nation. Yahweh said that these Jews, the seed line of Cain, would never have a nation of their own. They never had a nation of their own, and they still haven't had a nation of their own, because that little land over there that they stole, they only occupy a portion of it. 68 years. They had a plan to own that in 48. 68 years later, they still don't own it, because Yahweh's plans supersede their plans. So they thought that 53 was going to be the time when this was all going to happen, according to them, from this meeting in 1949 on the 5th of February in the Shriners Auditorium of Los Angeles, California. So the book goes on. It's time that we stood up to be counted. In the very first paragraph of Protocol 3, the leaders of Jewry admit Jewry is the serpent race of Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard that correct. In the very first paragraph of Protocol Number 3, the leaders of Jewry admit Jewry is the serpent race of Satan. We first observe that reptilian race in the third chapter of Genesis in our Bible. In the Hindu scriptures, he is called Shisha, which is pronounced Shaitan or Satan. He is symbolized as being a 12-headed cobra. Actually, the heads are 12 high-degree B'nai B'rith Jews as the cabinet of the king of the Jews. See, he's copying Yeshua, right, with 12 disciples, right? So what it's saying is he is symbolized as being a 12-headed cobra. Actually, the heads are the 12 high-degree B'nai B'rith Jews as the cabinet of the king of the Jews. That king today is Asiatic Turco-Mongol Jew Prince Abdul Baraba Baha. But that was then, not now. Who knows what body Satan possesses at this moment? Could be Hillary Clinton. He is the brains of Shaitan, the serpent. A portion. Now, as we see the body of Christ, right? We know that we are part of the body of Christ. This is Satan. He always imitates Christ. He can't even come up with an original number. He has to even use 12. Okay? So pay attention, right? So you've got, he is the brains, whoever the king of the Jews is at this point. We don't know who it is because that guy, I believe, is gone now. So Satan must be inhabiting a different body, and perhaps the Jews have proclaimed a new king of the Jews that we don't know about. I don't know. But he's the brains of the Kahilla, or of the body of Shaitan. Okay? Then you have 12 B'nai B'rith Jews in a cabinet. In other words, the disciples. You get it? Okay? So he is the brains of Shaitan, the serpent. A portion of his teeth and claws are the members of the Anti-Defamation League, which is an unconstitutional Gestapo organized in the United States in 1913 by Jewry's exclusive Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of B'nai B'rith, so as to force out of circulation any truth. This is the purpose of the B'nai B'rith. Pay attention right now, please. The purpose of the ADL here, okay? It's an unconstitutional Gestapo organized in the United States in 1913 by Jewry's exclusive Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of B'nai B'rith, so as to force out of circulation any truth remotely connecting the word Jew with the word conspiracy against God and man, and also to prevent, as far as possible, the truth being published about the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic people being the house of Israel as God's kingdom in the material plane. The axis of Shaitan's spinal column are two princes of the Jews and one roving ambassador. You would think this could be George Soros. This could be Henry Kissinger at this point. And when they die, somebody will take their place. Don't worry about it. So the axis of Shaitan's spinal column are two princes of the Jews and one roving ambassador who answer to no one but the king of the Jews. Shaitan has seven vertebrae in his neck backbone. His spinal cord has 1,000 nerve fibers. Very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Have I got your attention here? They are the Luciferian priesthood known in Christendom as the Learned Elders of Zion. They are equally divided between the Western and Eastern Hemisphere. His nerve system is a 7x7 super secret organization known as the Kahilla. Now that's spelled here C-A-H-I-L-L-A, not K-E-H-I-L-L-A. The Kahilla. The vertebrae in his backbone are seven offices from which emanate the nerve system consisting of seven ministers under seven arc sensors. 7x7 equals, 7x7 equals 49 ministers. Now, you must understand what's going on in our world. I'll read a little more because we're running out of time for today, but we will continue this and I will clarify this for you. Under each minister are seven heralds. Now, when we look at the name herald, let's look at the definition of herald. An official at a tournament of arms with duties including the making of announcements and marshaling of combatants. An officer with the status of ambassador. Hello! Acting as official messenger between leaders, especially in war. An officer of arms ranking above a pursuivant and below a king of arms. an official crier or messenger, one that precedes or foreshadows, one that conveys news or proclaims, an announcer, one who actively promotes or advocates, an exponent. Understand that these heralds, these ministers like Joel Osteen and all the other creeps that you got out there, ministers of war, ministers of finance, whatever it might be, you must understand that they're all members of the Kahilla, names that you see on a daily basis in their mainstream media are part of the Kahilla, are part of the body of Shaitan, the serpent race. Are you getting the gravity of what I'm telling you? So under each minister are seven heralds. I just read you what a herald is. 7 × 49 = 343 heralds. Under each herald are seven couriers. You know what a courier does. It brings somebody who brings information. Now, Rothschild has his own mail system. You know, M-A-I-L, mail. He has his own couriers. The Jews have their own couriers. So under each herald are seven couriers. 7 × 343 are 2,401 couriers. Under each courier are seven scribes. 7 × 2401 = 16,807 scribes. Now, may I tell you, is this time it's not the scribe I gave you the definition for earlier in this message. This time a scribe is somebody who writes. Now, these are people who write books. These are people who write legislation. These are people that write articles. These are people that may be in your news, like Krauthammer and all these different people, Bill Kristol the Jew, Krauthammer the Jew, people that are writing articles in the daily papers. These scribes can also be people that are writing your television programs, your Hollywood movies. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm out of time, ladies and gentlemen, but we shall. I know I've got your interest now. And just as it got super hot, you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Until next time, and especially next week, study to show thyself approved.